Emmanuel in the house. Amen. Can we celebrate this amazing worship ministry? Amen. This guy is a dad of two girls. This guy is a dad of two boys. And this guy is a dad of a boy and a girl. And these two are still working on their daddy game. Amen. Future dads. No, Tyler, no? Not yet. All right, take your time, brother. Amen. Welcome to the house of God. Amen. So we are in a message series entitled Acceleration, and it's based on my new book, my first book, Acceleration. And as you know, 100% of all the proceeds from this book are going to a baby shower that we're doing this summer, where we're going to have a baby shower for underprivileged mothers who've never had a baby shower before. And together as a church, we're going to be a blessing to them. Amen. So I want to thank everybody who's picked up a book already. Many people have. We only have 15 books remaining. And so you can go grab another copy. Amen. Awesome. And as you know, I'm starting a new group next Saturday in the morning. We're going to start a small group called iSchool Acceleration, School of Acceleration. And so you can sign up on the table where the books are going to be. And I want to help you get from point A to point B. Amen. It's going to be a round table style. Somebody will talk about their visions and dreams, and we're going to mentor them and counsel them in front of everybody so everybody can learn from everybody. Amen? Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Well, first Sunday we talked about the speed of trust. Speed of trust. How if you know how to cultivate trust as a person, or cultivate trust on your product or services, that you will experience acceleration. And last Sunday, we talked about the speed of mentorship, how God has blessed mentors to accelerate us and to help us achieve things that we cannot achieve by ourselves. Amen. Has this series been a blessing to you so far? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today, we're talking about the speed of partnership. The speed of partnership. Somebody say the speed of partnership. One more time. Let's say that together. The speed of partnership. That wasn't so good, so we'll try one more time. The speed of partnership. Hallelujah. Well, some of you may know I'm a songwriter. Some of you don't know, but I'm a songwriter. That's how I have provided for my family for years, writing songs. And years ago, I was going through a season where I was writing and writing songs, and things were just not happening. I'm an anthem guy. When I write songs, I love to write anthem. I can come in a room like this and look at my brother Donut here, and he's wearing a beautiful shirt. I can write a song based on that shirt. I can write a hook. I can write an anthem, and I can chant, and just it comes natural to me. It's very easy. But my weakness is that I wasn't always very strong in melodies. I'm a little better now, but I wasn't always strong in melodies. Melodies are not my strength. I can write chants and hooks and anthems, not so much melodies. And for a long time, I was writing songs and trying to get a break, sending songs to record labels and sending songs to other artists, and nobody could quite seem to take my songs. They would always say, hey, these songs are great, but there's just something missing. Go back and go work some more, just tweak a few things, and I'll go back and do the same, and over and over and over, just change something, just tweak a little something. And I started getting discouraged. Anybody been there before? Started getting really discouraged. Is this ever going to happen? Maybe I need to just quit. But in 2008, my pastor, Pastor Matthew Thompson, put me in a room, and he brought his brother Philip Thompson in that room, and he said, hey guys, you are a songwriter, Zenzo, and Phil, you are a songwriter. Why don't you guys try to write together? Maybe something will come out of this. Well, like I just told you, my strength is that I'm really good with anthems. And it just so happened that Phil's strength was melodies. And so here we were, an anthem guy and a melody guy in one room writing songs together. And I'm telling you, some masterpieces started developing out of that. We wrote songs. I had a breakthrough. All of a sudden, a song that I wrote called Love Lifted Me, people were singing everywhere, churches singing it. A major recording artist called Ty Tribbett was on Sony record label, picked the song and recorded it. oh my God, the royalties started flowing in. Amen, somebody. Checks were coming in. Even my little kids knew the royalty checks. They would go to the mail and say, Daddy, it's the good check. It's the good check. And we needed these checks, by the way. My wife had just had our third born son, Joshua. And so we needed to keep her home. She was supposed to quit her job and stay home. And out of the royalties from these songs, man, God began to bless us. And TBN took a little portion of my song, and they started using it to introduce a program. So year after year, month after month, we got steady checks, and that's how we survived. That's how we funded our ministries and all kinds of stuff. I received a breakthrough and experienced acceleration because of the power of partnership. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I want to give you quickly here three ways in which a partner accelerates you. Three ways in which a partner accelerates you. Number one, a partner increases your assets. A partner increases your assets. I want you to know that there's always someone else out there who has assets that can add much value to yours and accelerate you. Assets are strengths, talents, and gifts. There's somebody else out there who has assets and gifts that can add much value to yours and accelerate you. That's what Phil did to me. I had assets. I was a good songwriter. I was a decent songwriter. But when Phil and I got together, we brought our strengths together. I brought my anthems. He brought his melodies. And something great happened. Somebody shout amen. The Bible puts it this way. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. Very straightforward scripture. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. The word good in the Hebrew is tobe, T-O-B-E. It simply means bountiful. So the word of God says, two are better than one because they have a bountiful reward for their labor. Anybody is looking for a bountiful reward here? Come on, somebody. In your business, in your education, in your marriage, in anything that you're pursuing, there's always somebody else out there that can add much value to your business, add much value to your spiritual life. Find somebody you can pray with. Find somebody who can encourage you as a husband. Find somebody who can encourage you as a wife. Join efforts, begin to pray together, begin to believe God together. If you don't have a prayer partner in this room today, I want to encourage you today. Find a prayer partner. Find another lady, if you're a lady, who can pray with you. Find another man who can pray with you, because a partner can add much value to you. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 30, paraphrasing here, it says, one will chase 1,000, and then it says, two will chase 10,000. Very interesting mathematics. One will chase 1,000. Two will chase 10,000. Listen, mathematically, if one will chase 1,000, two are supposed to chase how many? 2,000. This is God's mathematics here. It says by yourself, you can chase 1,000. But as soon as you get a partner, 10,000. That's a 1,000% increase. God is saying to you that you get a 1,000% increase the moment you get a partner. Somebody say, that's good news. That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. There's an increase. As soon as you get a partner, an increase. I want to give you a tweet here. You can achieve more and faster with partnership. You can achieve more and faster with partnership. Most of us have heard of Steve Jobs. He built such an incredible company, Apple. But many people don't know, and I've shared this story before, many people don't know that Steve Jobs had a major partner in Steve Wozniak. Steve Jobs was the strategist. He was the visionary. He could see the products that people needed before people even knew that they needed these products. But Steve Wozniak was the mathematician, the engineer. He was the guy who wrote all the codes. Steve Jobs could not have achieved what he achieved without Steve Wozniak. And Steve Wozniak would not have achieved what he did without Steve Jobs. They brought their assets together and built one of the greatest companies in the world. Who is your mentor? Who's your partner? Who's your Steve Wozniak? Do you have a partner today? I want you to know that God has endued power in the principle of partnership to accelerate you. We see this principle all throughout the Bible. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, he didn't do it by himself. He found 12 people, 12 disciples. And within those 12, he had three who were executive. And within those three, he had one. His name was Peter. Peter was his partner. So much that when they came to capture Jesus to kill him, Peter drew his sword, man. He chopped an ear, just, that's a real partner, just real quick, just, yeah. Jesus was like, Peter, grab the ear, put the ear back, Peter. Return the ear, put it back, put back the ear. That's a partner. David, one of the greatest kings who ever lived, had a partner in Jonathan. Jonathan. Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, had a partner in Silas. They were in a jail cell praying together, singing together. Anybody who's successful, anybody who's done something great, you will find that they didn't do it by themselves. They found a partner and they put their assets together and achieved acceleration. Somebody shout hallelujah. Michael Jordan could not do it without Scottie Pippen. Michael Jackson could not do it without Quincy Jones. They were geniuses, but these partners added much value to them. Shaq needed Kobe. Come on, somebody. I heard you up there. For those that are a little bit older, here's an example for you. Tina Turner needed Ike. Yeah. I got one for the millennials. Kanye needs Kim. Let's stay out of that. And Kim needs Kanye. Well, let's get back to the word here. Number two, a partner minimizes your liabilities. A partner minimizes your liabilities. What are your liabilities? They're your weaknesses. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses. Everybody in this room has strengths and weaknesses. Please write this down. A wise person does not only know their assets, but their liabilities as well. Huh. A wise person does not only know their strengths, but their weaknesses as well, because everybody has strengths and weaknesses. Matter of fact, being ignorant of your weaknesses is like trying to run in a field that has potholes without knowing they're there. It's just a matter of time before you fall. Being ignorant of your weaknesses is like trying to cook with a pot that has holes in it all over. It's just a matter of time before you're burnt. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses. Here's a tweet. Acknowledging your weakness is not a sign of weakness, but strength. Acknowledging your weakness is not a sign of weakness, but strength. Now that you know that you have strengths and weaknesses also, a wise person knows that there's somebody else out there who has assets that can supplement your area of liability. In other words, you've got to understand that there's somebody else out there who has strengths in the areas where you're weak. And that's a partner. And so you find that person and you come together and they accelerate you. Matter of fact, people that are successful are not people who don't have weaknesses. Success is not an indication of the absence of weakness. But successful people are people who recognize their area of weakness and they get partners that are strong in areas where they are weak, and together they strengthen their weakness and do something great. Hallelujah. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Two can stand back to back and conquer. Tim, come up. Let's appreciate Tim right here. Hallelujah. It says a person who's alone can be defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. This is how they used to fight back in the days. They would stand back to back. You've got to realize that when you're fighting somebody, your front is your asset. Your front is your strength. Stay right there, Tim. But your behind is your liability. Because somebody can come back there, you can't see anybody, and they can come back there, knock you out, and kill you. That's why back in the days, they used to fight like this. so that somebody is covering your liability and you're covering somebody's liability. And together you're strong and you can defeat the enemy. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's acceleration. Let's celebrate this good-looking brother here. That's strength. Amen. Listen, let me tell you, I know I'm your pastor here, but I'm going to briefly tell you what my assets are and what my liabilities are. How many people want to know that? Strengths and weaknesses. Somebody put their hand real quickly. Like, yeah, I want to know what the pastor's weaknesses are. Well, my strength is that I'm a big picture guy. I'm a big picture guy. I come into a room like this and I see more than what most people see. I see potential in people. That's why I love pastoring. I see potential. When I see people, I see potential. I believe in people. I love people. I'm a big picture guy. I can see 5 years from now where this church is going to be. I've seen the building. I've seen the parking lots. I've seen every little detail. I've seen people in this place that God's going to be using. People in this place that God's going to be sending around the world. People in this place that are going to birth conferences and different things and great things. And that thing, that picture, the thing I see is so real, like this microphone. That's my strength. Now, my weakness. Oh, my God, I just saw somebody like all of a sudden, just someone who was declining just move forward when they heard my weakness. People love drama. Y'all love drama. Well, let's do my weakness next Sunday, okay? Well, my weakness is that I dislike details. I'm not a detail-oriented guy. If you want to punish me, get me to do some detail-oriented stuff. I'm just not detailed. I'm just not an administrative kind of guy. I like to deal with the big picture kind of stuff. So when we were starting this church, before I mobilized any musician, before I mobilized any person in any department, I was looking for people who are detail-oriented first. I was building an administrative team first because that's my liability. Now, this is the mistake that most people do. When they realize this is my area of strength and this is my weakness, they spend their entire lifetime trying to strengthen their weakness while neglecting their strength. So they lose their strength and they never get any good really in this area because it's not your strength. So, by the way, let's celebrate Janelle in the building. Just came back from Tanzania. Our missionary, thank you to all that give in this house, faithful tithers. Because of you, we're able to send missionaries. They saw over 900 people who gave their lives to Jesus in Tanzania. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I mobilized Janelle and a team of people, and that girl right there is a master at administrative stuff. She's a master at details. Listen, I could spend the next 3 years of my life trying to get better at being an administrative person, and I'll never be as good as she is. So I'd waste my time and neglect my strength. So what I do is I focus on what I do. I'm a visionary. I speak and I communicate vision, and I let Janelle and the team do what they do, and together we're moving mountains in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Listen, I'm a hardworking guy. If I worked for the next 3 years trying to be good administratively, I might be decent, but I'll never come anywhere close to being good like that lady, because that's her strength. So focus on your strength and find a partner who covers your strength, and together you can fight and win battles. God has put power in the principle of partnership to accelerate you. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Number three, a partner helps you to birth great strategies. A partner helps you to birth great strategies. I want you to pay attention to this statement, and please don't forget it for as long as you live, because I've found out this is where things get very tough for most of us. It's in the beautiful tension and fusion of partnership where groundbreaking ideas are birthed. It's in the beautiful tension and fusion of partnership where groundbreaking ideas are birthed. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 19, it says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. If two of you can agree, somebody shout agree. It says, if two of you can agree, if two of you can agree about anything, somebody shout anything. This is one of the few places in the Bible where God signs an open check and gives it to you. It says, if two of you can simply agree about anything, this is God. He has an open check. I'm signing. It's good to go. The condition is just two of you. Can you agree? Can you simply agree? And it's one of the most difficult things to do is to find two people who can simply agree. I see my kids now. Our Joshua is 5 and our Naya is 3. Those two kids can't agree. 3 and 5 just can't agree. I want your toy. No, I want your toy. No, you took my toy. No, I sit them on a table just to eat. They can annoy each other just sitting on a table. It's human nature. Very difficult thing to get two people to just agree about something. But God says partnership is so powerful. If two of you can dare to agree, here's an open check. I will give you anything. That's why it's so tough to see people find agreement. It's tough to see a church where people are walking in agreement. The devil is scared of a people that are walking in partnership because great things happen because God has already signed an open check for people who can come together in unity. The reason most people struggle to partner and walk in agreement is because they think the only way to agree is that the two people should have the same perspective. That's where it gets tough. We can only agree if we have the same perspective. Impact agreement does not imply that we have the same perspective. It doesn't. Please write this statement down. Two different people can work together in synergy to serve one purpose. Two different perspectives can work together in synergy to serve one purpose. Matter of fact, if the partner you have does not have a different perspective, they're not adding to you. They are redundant. You need somebody who thinks differently. You need somebody who sees it differently from you. And this is where most people get chalked up. Now, you see it differently. You've got a different style. You've got a different way of doing things. Well, if I didn't have a different way of doing something, then I'm not adding to you. I'm redundant. I'm a duplicate. And every time they're duplicates, one of them is not needed. Ooh. This is where people get stuck. Matter of fact, one of the greatest ways to see that a partner is suitable for you is that they challenge you in the area of your weakness. They challenge you. They have something to offer that challenges you. And this is where most people struggle. They cannot deal with people that are different from them. In chemistry, it's known as the principle of hybridization. Hybridization is where two different atomic structures or molecular structures come together to serve one purpose. That's why we have hybrid cars now. It's two different systems, a system of an electrical system, a battery-operated system working together with a gas system to drive one car. So you're saving on gas, and at the same time, you're saving the world because you're not burning too many fumes because you're functioning on two different systems that are working together to pursue one purpose. Somebody shout hallelujah. Here's a tweet. Partnership works when two people with two different perspectives are willing to celebrate each other's strengths without tripping on each other's weaknesses. Two different people that are coming from two different dispositions, willing to celebrate each other's strengths without tripping on each other's weaknesses. I just told you that I'm a big picture guy. Now, I used to think God wanted to punish me, Donald, because he gave me a detail-oriented wife. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, my God, help me. I used to struggle with this in the beginning because I saw it this way and she saw it this way. Big picture guy. I remember the beginning one day, she said to me, honey, I want you to clean the house. I want you to sweep the living room because there are visitors coming. I said, hey, no problem. Big picture, I'll take care of the big picture. I can handle this. I started sweeping and I swept anything that you could see under the couches. Come on, fellas, don't judge me. I mean, I swept. Listen, the big picture was spanking clean, beautiful. I can handle the big picture. I'll take care of that. If Forget the details, but I'll handle the big picture. Look beautiful. And she came, and she's looking at the house. I'm just like, what now? What's going on? She walked over, grabbed the couch, moved it, went to the other side. I'm like, what are you doing? And she moved the couch. French fries, chicken wing bones, chicken noodles, all kinds of dust back there. She's like, honey, you got to clean all this. Remember one time she said, hey, honey, you got to clean the clothes and get them back in the closet. I said, I can handle that. I'm gonna fix it in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I grabbed all the clothes, shoved them in the closet, just a little. And that thing snapped. Boom. I was like, yes. And she found me celebrating. And I just knew trouble. I knew trouble. She said, hon, what's going on here? And she went for the door. I knew she was going to open. I said, please don't. The house looks nice. The big picture is working. And she opened that thing. All the clothes fell off. And this is what she said to me. I mean, this was torture. She said, honey, I want you to separate the pants from the shorts. Hey! Separate the T-shirts from the shirts. The devil is a liar. She said, I want you to separate all the underwears from the socks, and I want you to pair up all the socks. Now I've become a sock matchmaker. Come on. I'm sitting down for hours matchmaking socks. That's not my kind of thing. And we used to fight. Most of our fights were based on this foundation. I saw it differently. She saw it differently. And back then, we used to kill each other. I used to say, hon, you're annoying. You just like to annoy me. You like to, and she used to say, you're stubborn. It's your bottom line guy. It's your way or the highway. I mean, we just used to fight because we used to think two different perspectives cannot work together. One day, God spoke to me. He says, Zenzo, you are fighting the very thing I put in your wife to perfect you. Ugh. I made her different so she can perfect you. You are trying to make her like you, and if she becomes you, you don't need her anymore. Oh. I said, God, help me here. And that's what most of us are doing. We don't have partners because we're looking for people who think just like us. And the moment somebody challenges you a little bit, you remove them and you can't work with other people because you don't understand that with two different concepts, there'll be a little friction, a little conflict. But it's in the beautiful friction and conflict of two concepts trying to work together where great things are birthed. Somebody shout hallelujah. And if you can find a partner, and be willing to work together. I know you see it a little differently, but I'm going to celebrate your strength and not trip on your weakness. This is the struggle that most marriages have. Please don't try to make your wife to be like you. Please don't make your husband to be like you. God has made you beautiful because something good is going to come out of your partnership. Once I discovered that secret, it changed our lives. Now my prayer is, Father God, thank you so much for blessing me with my Michelle. We need a detail-oriented person around here. And our prayers, Father, thank you for my big-picture husband. I can believe God for anything, and she can put it all together. And together, man, we are a force to reckon with for the sake of the gospel. Somebody shout hallelujah. Impact, as I finish here today, I want to quickly give you a list here. And it's 7 qualifications of a great partner. 7 qualifications of a great partner. And I want you to write this down. And we're going to pray and believe God for partners. All these 7 qualifications are coming from Exodus chapter 18, from verse 21 to 23. Exodus chapter 18, from verse 21 to 23. This was a time when Moses was leading the children of Israel. He was leading millions of people by himself. And his father-in-law, Jethro, his mentor, comes to him and says, you need to find partners. You're gonna burn out. You're gonna kill yourself. You need to find partners. Partners who can lead 1,000 people, some who can lead hundreds, some who can lead 50s, and some who can lead tens. Let them help you so you can get the job done. Verse 21, he says, but select from all the people capable, honest men who fear God. But select. Here's a little rabbit trail here. Here's a little bonus point. You should not be apologetic for being selective when it comes to choosing a partner. You've got to be selective. The Bible says so. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Somebody shout capable. One more time, capable. That's the first qualification of a great partner. They should be capable. And a person who's capable, number one, is someone with a track record of productivity. The way you measure capability is that it's someone with a track record of productivity. My son and I love to go to watch basketball games at the TD Garden. And many times we're sitting there in the stands and you always hear somebody. There's always somebody who's really loud, like, Isaiah Thomas, do this. No, you're doing it wrong, Isaiah. No, Isaiah. No, Isaiah. And I'm always thinking, I bet you if you put this guy in there, he wouldn't do anything. It's easy to say stuff when somebody else is on the platform. I'll tell you that. It's so easy to criticize. Well, they should do it this way. They should do it that way. Well, what have you done? It's easy to see people on the platform and criticize until you step in the hot seat, my friend, and you realize that there's so many other conditions that are working against this person to do the job. So you want to look for a partner with a track record of productivity. And then it says, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Honest men who fear God and hate bribes. That's integrity, honesty. A great partner should be someone of integrity who's honest. In other words, a great partner, number two, should be someone who has the same values as yours. Someone who has the same values as yours. Because your partner fully represents you. When people see you, they see your partner. When they see your partner, they see you. Please don't pick somebody who doesn't represent you in their values, in the way they behave. Pick somebody who's an excellent partner. Somebody say amen. Number three, appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,150 and 10. Appoint them as leaders of groups of 1,150 and 10. As leaders of groups, leaders of groups, leaders of groups. Number three, a great partner should be a team player. You cannot be a team player. You cannot be a leader of groups if you're not a team player. Partnership fails if everybody is looking out for their personal interests. You want to find a partner who's not just thinking of themselves. They're just thinking of themselves. Partnership fails if everybody's looking out for their personal interests. Here we go, number four, verse 22. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes. Number four, a great partner should be a problem solver. A great partner should be a problem solver. And for you to be a problem solver, you have to be wise. Someone who's wise. And by the way, I want you to know that intelligence and talent is not an indication of wisdom. Intelligence and talent is not an indication of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply intelligence and talents to solve problems and provide solutions. A wise person solves problems and they provide solutions. You need a partner who's a problem solver. Listen, anybody can point out a problem. Only leaders can solve them. Anybody can point out a problem. There's an issue here. There's an issue here. Issue here. Only leaders have the power to solve. You don't want a partner who says, no, that's not my area. That's not my jurisdiction. I can only. No. You want a partner who's willing to offer themselves and solve problems. We're almost there. Number five. It says they should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide. Let the leaders decide. A great partner has to be decisive. They have to be passionate and decisive. Have you ever gone to eat with somebody who can't just make up their mind on what they want to eat? They call the waiter back. Come back. I need to change my order. You need somebody decisive. The Bible says so. Number six, you need someone else whose set of skills complement yours. Someone else whose set of skills complement yours. He says, but have them bring the major cases to you and let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. Have them bring the big ones to you and the small ones to you. The big ones to you, the small ones to you. In other words, you take care of the big ones and they have a gift where they can take care of the other stuff by themselves. Their gift complements yours. And then finally, you need someone who pulls their own weight. Someone who pulls their own weight. It says, let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the Lord. They will help you carry the Lord, making the task easier for you. The last thing you want to do is to babysit your partner. If you have to motivate your partner, they are not adding to you, they are depleting you. A great partner is a contributor, not a taker. A great partner is a contributor, not a taker. Please stand if you can. I'm out of time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, give your people partners in business. Father, I pray that every marriage in this place will become a real partner. They'll celebrate their differences and not tolerate one another. Teach us how to work together. Father, your design is perfect. You've put us together for a reason. Father, even the people you've brought into this church, help them recognize that they are partners. Not partners with Pastor Zenzo, but partners with Jesus to do the work that you've called us to do in this place. Cause us to be responsible, take our rightful position, and do our part, and be committed in the house of God in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray on this Father's Day, raise up partners, raise up leaders, raise up great men and women of God who will make a difference in the world in the name of Jesus. Father, I release business partners now. I release partners in education now. For those that are single, God, release partners in their lives now in the name of Jesus. Partners in education, partners in government, prayer partners, encouragement partners, people who can just encourage them in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that every couple in this church will truly become partners. Partners, God. Not people that are working against each other. People whose uniqueness is working in synergy together to push the work of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father, we worship you. You are a good, good Father. You are a good, good Father. Come on, take a moment here. Take a moment. Close your eyes if you can. And just enjoy this atmosphere. I'll give you a few minutes just to enjoy this atmosphere.